This episode is brought to you by New Balance. You don't have to be an elite athlete when you pound the pavement. Whether you've run 5 marathons or you only run when necessary, whether you're chased by bears, zombies, monsters, the apocalypse is coming. But New Balance will have you covered regardless. Whether you need shoes for comfort, stability, or race day speed, they've got you covered. Because the only right way to run is your way. New Balance. Run your way. Visit newbalance.com/running to learn more.
There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Hello, elegant listeners and viewers, and welcome to Go My Favorite Sports Team. If you noticed something different last episode, I was missing. Mark was alone, standing, sitting.
How would they ever have noticed? I talk so much.
I do want to say, though, Mark, that was a great episode. I really enjoyed watching that.
Thank you. Thank you. I felt like it was part of the whole teaching people how to... Goodbye. I'm gone now. There I am. Teaching people how to appreciate sports and that sports are accessible for everybody. Not that I know how much those tickets actually were, because I do hear that, like, actual stadium tickets can get expensive. But
there are cheaper ones, though, if you go to, like, minor league games and stuff like that. You don't have to go to the NBA games. You can go to other games. You can go to high school games. Like, stuff is pretty cheap.
Definitely. I will admit, in the halftime of that game that I was at, they had Little League kids come out and play during halftime. That was probably more entertaining than the actual game itself. Those kids were good. Then they're tiny, tiny little tots, like maybe, I don't know, like 6, 7 years old.
Oh, I thought you were talking 6, 7. Like,
yeah, these kids, tiny, but really tall.
I was like, that's taller than Wade and Bob.
Yeah, 6 years, 7 years old. But they were playing really well, better than I ever could. I don't know why hold on. I can't go in and out of reality this often here.
Yeah, that's like every 2 seconds right now.
It's kind of been a pain. This is for those who think like, oh, these lenses. This is actually not one of the lenses that I've bought recently.
Well, and even then, it's the autofocus of the camera itself, which wouldn't have to do with the lens, right?
No, it's the lens. It actually is in this case. It's just that this particular lens, this one, I think has a bug. That's the problem with a lot of these software-based things nowadays. Everything has firmware, and I have not updated. And it's just because it thinks that there are eyeballs in my background.
Oh, is that because of the other lenses you have in your background? They think they're eyes?
No, the lights.
No, it's the lenses.
I don't think the lenses look like eyes.
They work like eyes. Eyes have lenses in them.
In a way. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, yeah. The kids were, extremely entertaining. That game was surprisingly competitive. And overall, it was a great time. I do recommend it for anybody that wants to try to get a ticket, because it is fun times all around.
Well, that's good. But anyway, your master of balls and holes has returned. I am back from Thailand. Despite what Mark said, it had nothing to do with choosing to go there based on my name. That just was a happy coincidence.
Sure.
And obviously, I'm joined by Mark, the lens master himself.
Hello, that's me.
I wanted to talk about it. I don't know if the audience cares, but I wanted to talk about my trip to Thailand a little bit.
Oh, before you get into that, just FYI, ticket prices for like the game I just looked up, it's the Lakers versus someone, start at $35, and you can get courtside for $115.
That's actually inexpensive for the NBA.
Oh, $105, actually, if you want the other seats. Well, anyway, just so you know.
Relatively inexpensive for...
Yeah, I mean, I was assuming that it was going to be hundreds of dollars to get courtside because it was just some special. But I'm thinking of, like, you know, when there's a special boxing event or something where it's only one time in whoever knows how long it's going to be before the next one comes along.
You mean like Creator Clash?
Yeah, something like that.
But anyway, back to me, who's been gone, Mark.
Yes. Yeah, go on.
Thailand is incredible. And I have a jacuzzi against the United States. And my big jacuzzi against the United States right now is the fact that why the heck every time I go somewhere else is the food so much better? Like, just the quality of it. I'm talking about the quality of the meat, the amount of stuff that they don't put in there. Like, if you ever go to another country, and I know you have, Mark.
Uh-huh.
McDonald's is better quality products than in the U.S. Like, it's smaller portions, for one. For two, the meat quality was better. There were a lot more, like, every McDonald's has a different thing. And this is just focusing on McDonald's for the moment because it's comparable. Generally speaking, all of the food that was had, like, the eggs were fresh because there are chickens all over the place. Like, there wasn't, they don't do anything with a bunch of preservatives. There's less chemicals and everything. Everything's, like, farm to table practically. It's much cleaner food. And everything is just more filling and tastes better, and you're not eating as much. And then also the walkability and transit. It felt like chaos, but it was safer. They were respecting motorcyclists on the road. And in fact, they were allowing motorcyclists to get in the front of at the traffic lights. You could hop on the back of a motorcycle and get across town and feel safe. What is this about the U.S. that there's so much chaos and so many things that we're putting into food and all this crap? Why is it healthier over there? I just felt so much better.
Well, I think it largely depends on where you go. I don't know what the food pipeline is in Thailand, but as the resident American patriot on this podcast, apparently, I gotta defend the good old US of A. Look, if you're buying grade F meat, that's on you. You know, if you if you're getting your parasite-laced meat for discount purchases, hey, you know, you gotta get by to get by. USDA grade prime beef that you could probably get. Like, I don't know. I've never been to Thailand. What I do know is that Thailand, much like some of those countries out there, they don't have a lot of land. So I'm actually kind of surprised. Like, how much land does Thailand have?
Actually, a good bit. A good bit of it is farmland. Beef is more expensive there. Because it's rarer mm-hmm. to have beef, but it's mostly comes from like the local cattle, water buffalo.
I know that Indonesia is huge. So Thailand, I'm looking on the map, it actually is fairly sizable. I'd say it's about the size of like similar to Japan, just kind of spread differently with its main thing. So yeah, it does seem like, oh yeah, they would have a lot of farmland in there. So yeah, mayhaps.
Also, rice is so much healthier as a main grain than wheat and bread.
Well, you can get rice here.
You can get rice here, but it's majority of it's imported. Yeah, and Thailand has a ton of rice paddies, and they're just so delicious. A lot of curries. One thing I will say, spiciness in my stomach definitely don't agree very well, so I had to be very American and asking for, like, no spice. But it was really good. I enjoyed my trip. The food is clean. Like, I've never felt more rested and ready to go, and every day I was more active. I was walking. I was doing all this different stuff, and it was just really nice, and generally speaking, walking around, the people seemed healthier, even though Thailand has a huge thing of drinks being insanely filled with sugar, like insanely sweet. But it's just remarkable, I think, because of the movement that they do on a daily basis, from walking, their commute, different stuff like that. Everyone just seemed to be healthier. And one of the coolest things I noticed about the culture is there's like, it felt really safe, but it was very community oriented. It was about very helpful. Everyone was incredibly friendly. I broke my toe when I was over there.
Oh, geez.
I jumped a canyon. We won't get into the exact details of it. I have a video of it, and the person didn't realize what I was doing, so they only got the tail end of it. But I jumped. I made it. I didn't die. But I broke my toe. But after I broke my toe, like, I was at a hotel and the person was coming and bringing me ice and bringing me meds and like checking in on me. The people that I met there were checking in on me. Like, I got more help than I've ever had in my life. Other than from like my parents when I was a kid, in the sense of people who didn't know me going out of their way to make sure that I was okay.
Damn, just off the street. Where did you break your toe?
In Pai. It was Pai Canyon. It's my left big toe, the first knuckle of the left big toe. So.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's only the third time I've broken it.
Is it better now?
No, it still hurts a little bit. I've been walking on it. So.
That sounds fascinating. So why did you go to Thailand again? What was the overarching reason?
That's a funny story. So I wanted to do a month-long trip, and I was originally looking at going to Hanoi in Vietnam in January. I got invited to a wedding, my friend's wedding in January in Tennessee. And so I was like, okay, I can't do January. And then one day I was just looking at the options for this company that I went through called Remote Year, where they give you the workspace, which makes sure that you have internet, right? Because I'm still had to do work while I was over there. And so I was trying to figure out a place, and I saw that Thailand was an option. And I saw a couple of different other options. And I woke up one morning and was just like having a rough time that week. And I was like, universe, give me a sign or something. And I went to my guitar lesson. On my way back, I met an Uber driver who I talked to my Uber drivers. Some people think that's weird, but who was moving to Thailand in February to join the Buddhist temple.
Okay.
We had a conversation, and he was going to the actual city I was looking at, and I ended up going to Chiang Mai, Thailand, because of that sign that I got. And I wanted to go over there as a part of research for working on my book and to actually have a time to relax and a vacation for the first time in a while, because my stress levels and other stuff have been building up just because COVID and a million other things that have been going on. I've just been busy, busy, busy.
Did you get sick over there?
I did not.
Oh, wow. That's actually impressive.
Not once. And so far, I've evaded it on the way back.
Well, that's good. Yeah, because I imagine that international travel, and especially every time I go over to Korea, I very often get sick. Although less lately, because of wearing masks on plane has been a big help. I have not gotten sick from just normal travel, and I traveled a lot. I was actually just in Austin again 2 days ago, and I had to fly back after that, and I still am okay. Fingers crossed. But did you find any like world altering realizations? Did you find the center of meaning of life?
Yeah, I realized that something that I wanted to do, I reinvigorated what I want to do. I'm excited to work on my book. I'm excited to travel more. I want to start actually doing travel vlogs, which is something I talked about doing with you, I think, after COVID or something. I was going to just sell everything and go around different places and write and stream and do other things. So that was really cool. I met a lot of really neat people, went out of my way and pushed myself outside my comfort zone in order to actually meet with locals that could speak English. You know, met some really cool people. I met somebody from China. I met some people from Australia. I met some people, obviously locals in Thailand. I think like three different people I got to sit down and talk with a little bit. I got to hang out with elephants, which was huge.
That's big.
Like literally, they're huge.
Yeah, I bet.
And they're strong. I got bonked in the face by the trunk of one. Imagine like a soft punch, but it still weighs like 50 pounds.
Damn. All right. Well, that's fun. Like getting hit with a really large medicine ball.
Yeah, but it was like a soft hit. So it was like you knew there could be more behind it. And if there was more force, it could absolutely wreck your shit. But because Damn. It just softly bonked you. Yeah.
Well, at least there's something there. That's nice.
I did a high ropes course while I was there. Did it all one-handed because I was filming with the other, you know?
Well, that's fair. But all that's very boring and not pertinent to this podcast. More importantly, did you play any sports?
I was going to, but then I broke my toe.
Oh, no.
So, and it ended up getting canceled anyway. But I was going to do a Muay Thai class. Or is it? I don't remember how to pronounce it exactly.
I don't know how to pronounce it either, so I'm just going to go with that. That's right.
Yeah, and so I was going to learn how to participate in that sport, but I did end up going to a fight.
Oh.
And next week, we're going to have an episode on Muay Thai, a primer, because of my experience with it, and you will see actual footage from the fights I watched as I talk about it. But the other thing I got to see while I was there were basketball games. And I mean, we were right by a university and we rode past on a bike and there was a massive crowd and it was an outdoor court, but organized basketball, like bikes strewn everywhere, like motorcycles all around it, stands full, and just two blacktop courts going at playing basketball, which was huge. The other thing I found out about the university is for the initiation of freshmen, there's this trail that goes up to a temple called the Hidden Temple. It's called the Monk Trail. Freshmen are required to walk up that trail as a part of their initiation into the school. But if you're a in the dancing school, you have to dance up.
You have to
you have to dance your way up. So they're usually at the back. The majority of the schools walk up, but then there's two schools. One of them is the engineering school. I don't remember what the other one was. They have to run. And it's a climb, like, and it's a while. So
damn. Okay.
When you're a senior and you graduate, you walk down from the top and get your diploma from an actual royal family member, which is really cool.
So wait, they stay at the top? They don't walk down until they graduate?
Pretty much, yeah. No. No, you run to the top and then you take a red car down, which is basically a pickup truck with benches in the back.
Boo!
And then you do the opposite when you're a senior. You walk down.
Okay. All right. Well, that's fair. Well, how do you get up when you're about to graduate? Do you take
the truck again.
Why don't you just run? Why don't you do it again and run back up?
It's the ceremony. You've made it to the top. Now you're walking your way down to receive your reward.
Okay. All right, then.
I'd rather go walk up. I hate walking downhill.
Yeah. I mean, either way, it just seems like non-committal and kind of just like superfluous, but all right.
Yeah. And the other cool thing was every time we went past a school, they had a giant soccer field in front of it.
Well, that's nice.
So those are the sports things that I kind of saw, but everyone seemed in great shape. There's breakdancing, there's night markets. It was just a really fun time.
Well, that sounds great. Yeah. And how long were you there for everyone at home again?
One full month. I arrived February 2nd and left March 2nd. This episode is brought to you by New Balance. You don't have to be an elite athlete when you pound the pavement. Whether you've run 5 marathons or you only run when necessary, whether you're chased by bears, zombies, monsters, the apocalypse is coming. But New Balance will have you covered regardless. Whether you need shoes for comfort, stability, or race day speed, they've got you covered. Because the only right way to run is your way. New Balance. Run your way. Visit newbalance.com/running to learn more.
So for those of you at home who have never traveled internationally and especially alone, what kind of things would you recommend for people to prepare to do this if they were going to take this kind of soul excursion out into international waters?
For one, to make it easier and to feel safe, you can find different companies that have like locals that'll be there as a resource. That makes it so that you have somebody to contact if something happens, help you with language barriers. We had a brief like language class on Thai. So I know how to say hello. I know how to say thank you. I know how to properly address somebody and make sure I'm saying stuff correctly. For the Thai, being respectful is huge. And so saying thank you and hello in the proper ways is very important. The other thing is make sure and check ahead of time what visas are, because depending on what country you're flying from, there are different rules for every country, and you don't want to violate those because it could end up costing you a lot of money, could end up costing you more than just money. For Thailand, there's a 30-day tourist visa where you don't have to do anything from the United States. But if you go over that, you get charged a fee, and then you have a 5-year ban from entering the country. So like, well, there's different things that can happen. So knowing your visas, looking at weather ahead of time is huge. Making sure you check the CDC website for recommended vaccinations or medications. So like, I took malaria pills. I got some extra shots because I'm immunocompromised. So like, I got Japanese encephalitis, made sure I was up on my hepatitises, and updated on my tetanuses as well. But there's a lot of recommendations that are out there. Making sure you use bug repellent, making sure you're doing sunscreen, you know, basically taking care of yourself and doing your research before you go and trying to make sure you're in the right space, because and understand what activity there is in the city and different things going on and being aware of your surroundings at all times.
That is important. Lots of good things. I'm sure everyone is writing down. Be aware there will be a test at the end of this. And no matter what, you will be sent to another country, whether you pass or not.
Yes. And you don't get to choose. Mark does.
I do. Yes. And I won't choose at all. I'll just spin the globe and put my finger down. Okay. So would you go back?
Oh, I plan to. I plan to this year.
Oh, really? This year? Not any other place? Just specifically Thailand?
Another place, too. But like, I've mainly stayed in one city in Thailand. I stayed around Chiang Mai. But I want to go to Phuket and see like southern Thailand a little bit.
Okay. Well, let me know next time you do, because I sent some of my lenses to Thailand.
Wait, really?
Yeah. The rehousing company, one of them, is in Thailand.
So you're wanting to send some lenses with me? Is that what you're saying?
No, I want you to go check in on them.
Oh, okay.
Stop by.
I was looking at November because there's the Lantern Festival where you release the thousands of lanterns that float into the sky.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I was thinking of hopping from there to Japan in December.
Yeah, I've been meaning to get back into like Korean studies just because I've been so busy with the movie, obviously, that I haven't had a chance to study anything at all or have any other kind of hobbies. But yeah, travel is definitely one of them. As soon as it's done, man, I just want to be able to live life again. That's what I miss. Just not having any new experiences to talk about. Because that's kind of the thing. And, you know, every day is an opportunity to shit on Wade. And here's my... I say no, this is the thing. But you know, I say this a lot in terms of content creation or just life in general, is when you're telling stories online, you will eventually run out of new, and you have to go live life in order to come back and be able to expand on who you are in terms of like the internet. Some people have a very unhealthy relationship with that, where they want to stagnate and be the same person. And I'm not saying that Wade is. I'm just saying Wade is typically a homebody. That's the only reason that I was saying like every day is an opportunity to shit on Wade. And that's fine, to each their own. But for me, there's always an opportunity to go do something. And I definitely applaud you going out and like tackling that and getting that adventure bug, because there is a whole world to explore and there's lots of cool things out there to do. And one of the things that I'm looking very much forward to is not just being done, but being done in a way that I can actually talk about the insanity that has been happening behind the scenes for me doing this movie. Like people have no idea, mostly just because I can't talk about a lot of them because it will inevitably lead to spoilers. But the stories I have from this alone are crazy and I haven't been able to say anything. Yeah, no, I applaud the adventurousness, and I yearn for it.
I compliment you for attending a sports event. Granted, it was taken care of by somebody else, but I do have a question.
Okay.
Did you watch the Super Bowl this year?
I watched some of it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I got after halftime, because we were doing something. I can't remember what we were doing, but there was something going on, and then only caught the tail end of it. I just don't remember what was happening. But I saw it.
If you hadn't, I was going to come at you, because I saw it despite being in Thailand and having to watch it at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Was it popular over there? Were people like, were there bars that were celebrating the Super Bowl?
There was probably one American bar nearby that was, but we, the group that I met, like, I didn't know any of them until I got there. We had a Super Bowl party at somebody's apartment, and we got together and watched it because there were a good amount of Americans. But most of them were Taylor Swift fans, so they wanted to see Taylor Swift more than anything.
Nice.
So, in fact, two of them went to Singapore to see Taylor Swift's concert in Singapore.
Wow. That's crazy. Now I remember, yeah, that I couldn't remember what happened at the Super Bowl, but now that you mentioned Taylor Swift, I was like, oh yeah, that's right, all that happened. I just remember the meme of Travis Kelce going to the coach. Oh! I was like screaming. I'm sure that's the way that he wanted that to be remembered.
We got to talk about sports while I was gone, because there are some big things that happened.
All right. This is your sports recap.
All right. So this is the ACC championship in swimming. For those of you that are watching that don't know, I swam in college.
What didn't you do in college? Oh, yeah. Football, baseball, swimming, water polo. Yeah, right.
I didn't party. That's what I didn't do.
That's the only statement that checks out. I believe that one.
This guy right here in lane four just finished and won. He's NC State. This guy right here next to him also has finished the race. His teammate got second. All right.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So they're celebrating. They're excited, right? This guy's excited and celebrating. He just won. He just beat his own personal best by 4 seconds. And so he's celebrating, having a good time, goes over to his teammate to celebrate with his teammate. And they're both have finished the race.
14 minutes. Good Lord. 14 minutes. Did I read that right?
Where are you referring to?
The time. Time of 14 minutes. It says right there on the screen. It's right there.
14 minutes, 37 seconds. Yeah. Look at the distance.
Jeez, I couldn't swim for 5. I couldn't swim for 2, honestly.
All right, so he finished, and so he's celebrating. He's getting ready to make his way to the podium because he got first. First in the ACC, and his time makes him an automatic qualifier for the national championship in this event. So he's making his way to the podium here. The most interesting thing is about to happen. He gets there. There's a disqualification. They just disqualified him. All right. So they disqualified the winner. But why? They disqualified this winner, which completely eliminates his time as personal best. Their reasoning is he crossed the lane line and interfered with another swimmer. He didn't interfere with anyone. That person had already finished the race, was his teammate. The race was over for both of them. He got disqualified for crossing the lane line, even though he won. And I think it might have been because other swimmers hadn't finished. It's not going to affect them. It's not going to change the outcome.
Okay, so obviously that decision was overturned, correct?
No.
How long ago was this?
I don't remember the exact date. It just says it's February 20th through 24th. So it was a couple weeks ago.
That might be the most infuriating thing I've seen in a while. How people must be angry.
Yes. Yes.
I can't imagine that anyone would look at that. It doesn't matter where you come from. They would look at that and be like, oh, yeah, that's fair. We should all allow that to happen. Who made that call?
The officials at the event. So
names. Give names.
I don't know the names.
Give the names.
Here are the rules that they claim are violated. Rule 2, Section 5, Article 1A. Any competitor who interferes with another swimmer during a race shall be disqualified from the race, subject to discretion of the referee. But here's the one that really caused it. Rule 2, Section 5, Article 1B. A swimmer who changes lanes during a heat shall be disqualified. There is no discretion by the referee listed. There is nothing there. That is the letter of the law. At the end of the day, what he did not affect anything. He was celebrating. He got a new personal best. He automatically qualified for nationals. It's a huge deal in swimming what he accomplished. 4 seconds dropped regardless of the distance is incredible. And the fact that this happened is absolutely absurd. The officials are following the letter of the rule book, but this is one of those situations where it made no sense whatsoever. And it's horrifying. It ruined that guy's moment. The fans don't understand it. It's one of those things where the rules are just wrong. They're defeating the purpose and the integrity of the sport in a way that it just doesn't make sense.
You see, that's the thing about rules, that, you know, rules are good and laws specifically are different. But rules, when it comes down to these games, there is a superseding rule that I think we all live by and understand, which is the rule of cool. The rule of cool supersedes any rule ever established. This is not talking about laws, is that it doesn't matter if something technically breaks a rule so long as it's cool. And that's cool. Everything there is cool, not just in terms of like, oh, that's really cool that he won. It's like, everything's good. Everything's cool. By enforcing the rule that is not law, that is not written in stone, nothing will happen if we don't apply the rule in a specific situation, because more damage is done, both to the integrity of the sport and also in that moment. The other players, they were racing and they will finish, and they were not affected in any way. And it wouldn't have mattered if he had, I don't know. There's a clip of like Michael Phelps, and someone made an edit of where he's like celebrating and splashing the water like brah, brah, and then it cuts to someone else who inserted himself and it's just brush, brush, water. Like,
yeah.
Goosh, 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 goosh. That would interfere more, and yet that would not be enforced, because it's like up to discretion. And it's like, I think that people need to understand that almost every scenario, besides some extreme ones, the referee is there to give discretion. Like,
yeah,
the referee can look at that and then maybe know that the letter of the laws like that, but then go like, I didn't see nothing. You know, that's the thing. I didn't see nothing.
Even the other competitors and other coaches would understand that not being enforced in that moment.
I want to know names.
While you're looking up the names, I'm going to hop over to another historic moment. Caitlin Clark, women's basketball player extraordinaire for Iowa, has now reached the pinnacle of scoring. Career points scored in college basketball, scoring 35 points in a 93-83 win over Ohio State in her final regular season college game. She has now reached the top alone in scoring ever, with 3,685 points and counting made. So she is now the highest scoring player in NCAA history for women's basketball. The previous record holder was LSU's Muravik, which was earned in 1967 to 1970, 3,667 points. I don't want to compare apples to oranges because Clark has played more games. There's more games played in today's modern game. But Clark also is shooting threes and doing a lot of things and broke a record that stood for 54 years that one that many thought would never, ever be broken, ever. Historically, Clark has not elected to use an extra year of eligibility because of the COVID rules from what happened in 2020. But Caitlin Clark has been phenomenal for women's basketball. More and more people are paying attention to women's basketball because of her.
I think I've actually heard about Caitlin Clark. I don't think it was during the game that I was watching, but I think this has actually spilled out into regular pop culture because I remember seeing a highlight reel of this player making crazy shots all the time, like really good at threes doing, which is pretty impressive because at the end of the day, it's more just it's the default thing, right? I mean, there's probably some people out there that are actually biased, but when it comes down to like the default choice of what is the predominant sport level of sport in a sport, I think that people just automatically are like, oh yeah, the men's league, because they don't even know that there are like women's leagues, other leagues, like different tiers of leagues. They just know like, oh yeah, that's where the NBA play. Oh yeah, that's my city's team. They have no idea that their city has like a college level team or multiple college level teams.
Or even a WNBA team.
Exactly. Yeah. When they see one thing, why would they ever think that there's anything deeper? So a lot of people just don't even know about it or don't know how accessible it is or don't know that you can go to these games. Same with what I was saying, like on the episode by myself and also earlier here. It's like, yeah, you can get tickets. They are there.
The last piece of news I want to share real quick is Lewis Hamilton, who is a living and active Formula One legend, global superstar, has joined Ferrari.
Dun, dun, dun.
Ending his highly successful 12-year partnership with Mercedes. This is a massive shakeup in Formula One. It was massive news with how tied he has been to the Mercedes brand and everything. Carlos Sainz is on the move as well. I forget where he ended up, but he switched teams as well. Drivers switching teams in Formula One is it's not super common, especially when they're the pinnacle names. Usually teams offer them so much that there's no reason to leave. And so him leaving Mercedes was a massive deal. It broke news everywhere. This was at the very beginning of February and has affected Formula One as a whole in a massive way. Fans have switched which teams they're rooting for and all kinds of stuff.
I wouldn't have thought that it would be that big, but then again, even though we've done a primer on it, I don't fully understand how all that works. So how does that work? Do they switch cars? I mean, they go to the same races, right? So it's like, it's all...
Yeah, they're driving new cars that are built by different teams. So he's no longer driving a Mercedes-built car. He's driving a Ferrari car now. And usually the drivers have specific like tunings that they like and work with the team to build cars a certain way to the feel and how they drive. Switching teams is a whole new dynamic. Plus you have your teammate. So it changes up everything for both of those teams.
So if one company has a better car than the other, they just win, right?
Well, the specifications, no. The specifications are so precise in Formula One.
How many ladybugs did they cram in the car? How many praying mantises did they offer Lewis Hamilton to go to Ferrari?
I don't know. That's the end of the quick, brief sport news. I know you have somewhere to be. I know we've got stuff we got to do. Next week, we're going to be talking about Muay Thai. It's going to be a fun time. You guys will get to see firsthand experience from when I went and watched the sport.
Sounds good. Thank you, everybody, for being patient while Tyler was on his soul adventure. I know we were all waiting at the door, like just pups, hoping that you would return, weeping to ourselves for every day that you were gone. It was painful.
Some people like tried to tattle on you for doing an episode without me, and I just kind of laughed.
What's the tattle?
Teacher, he doesn't have a hall pass.
Mark did an episode alone.
I sure did.
But thank you guys so much for being patient with me, like Mark said. Lots in the works, a lot of new stuff, a lot of episodes planned already. So I'm excited for what is to come, and I hope you are too.
Yes, I am, and I hope you are at home.
So stay tuned, go on the subreddit, jacuse us of whatever you please, except primer suggestions, because those have a different flair. You'll be expunged from this earth.
Tyler will kill you.
That's not No.
That actually is what you said.
In a roundabout way.
That is pretty much what you said.
You know, do you really leave the Earth if you die?
No, but if you leave the Earth, you do die.
Not if you're wearing the proper equipment.
It's just a matter of time, man. Exile sometimes is worse than death.
Then they'll be exiled from the podcast.
And the planet.
All right, bye.
Bye.